Welcome, everyone, to another Writers Wednesday episode. I hope you are enjoying a wonderful summer break and getting lots of writing done. And this announcement is really for writers and readers. Our next Coffee and Books events is actually this Saturday, June 8th, from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I cannot believe how quickly this has snuck up on me, but I am so excited. And I just want to invite you to come discuss books with authors Julie Lessman, Misty M. Beller, and Lynn Shannon. This event is free. You just need to register, and you can do that at literaryscape.com/events. And I really hope I get to see you on Saturday to talk books. All right, on this week's Writers Wednesday episode, I had the pleasure of meeting Kent Sanders, who is the owner of The Profitable Writer, and he runs his own podcast called The Profitable Writer, and he has a membership as well for $47 a month that authors can join, connect, and learn different ways to become profitable. Kent used to be a college professor, and he loved his job but wanted more income and freedom in his time. So he discovered the power of building his own business by creating an author platform, writing for clients, and growing multiple income streams. One of his main income streams is ghostwriting, and in this episode, he is going to give us an overview of what ghostwriting entails and how you might consider this as an income for you as an author. So here we go. Enjoy this week's episode. Welcome, Kent. I'm so excited to have you here with us for our Writers Wednesday episode and to dive into ghostwriting. I've had some questions on this and I have my own questions as well. So could you maybe kick us off by just sharing how you got into ghostwriting?
Sure. By the way, thanks for having me on, Melissa. I appreciate the opportunity. And you were on my show a little while back and I'm excited to kind of flip the tables. Is that the right term?
Yeah.
That actually sounds a little violent as I say it out loud, but turn the tables or what?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm happy to be here. So I would love to present a picture where me getting into ghostwriting was this very well thought out, really well constructed life transition, but it really wasn't. It really came about out of desperation, if I'm just totally honest. That's not completely true, but it's mostly true because what I was doing for a long time is I was teaching college at a small school in North St. Louis. I loved teaching. It was a lot of fun. I loved the professor life, as some professors like to call it, which means you have a set schedule. You have this core group of classes that you teach. You go and you teach and you have a lot of free time during the week to grade papers or read or prep or whatever. Then you go home and that's kind of it. And for the most part, a very chill, predictable life. And you have a lot of downtime in the summer and around Christmas. So it's like, what's not to love if you like teaching and classroom and stuff and reading? It's a wonderful existence. However, I noticed around 2015 that we were going through some difficult things at the college where I taught. We had a lot of staff leave at the same time. Some professors got fired because of some kind of internal issues that were happening at the school. And our enrollment was tanking. So I knew that I needed a plan B, and I was getting kind of bored with teaching, to be honest with you. So I wanted to create a better financial future for my family, and I wanted some new challenges. So I started freelancing on the side. I was doing podcast show notes for a few clients, and that eventually turned into things like writing blog posts and articles and some editing and things like that. And then in 2019, I decided to transition into ghostwriting books as my main client work. And the reason I did that is because I knew that it would only take really two or three projects a year for me to equal what I was making as a college professor, which wasn't very much. And so like my standard of income was pretty low, to be honest with you. And much to my surprise, it started working. So less than a year after I went through some training, I signed my first client. Then I signed my second one pretty quickly after that. And then it just kind of continued to grow from there. But honestly, the reason that I picked ghostwriting, it wasn't just because I had already written some books and because I liked writing. It was also because I wanted something that was really simple and straightforward and that was a repeatable process. So, and for me, ghostwriting fit that bill because when you write nonfiction books, you know, every book is different, of course, but there's also a similar structure to good nonfiction books, specifically if you're writing businessy type of books. Memoir has a similar structure. You know, every genre kind of has its own structure, but once you learn what those are, and if you're a good writer and you like doing that for a living, I think it's a great potential pathway. So there's a lot more I could say about ghostwriting, and I'm sure we'll get into some of those things, but that's kind of the short story of how I get into it.
It's interesting. I have found the more that I work and with authors is a lot of times writing is a second career. We've started out somewhere else and decided totally. We want to move into this. So could you just explain then, you kind of started talking about this a little bit. What is ghostwriting and what is the process?
So ghostwriting basically is when you are writing on behalf of people who don't have the time or the skill or the talent to do it themselves. And I'm really thankful over the last decade or so, the conversation around ghostwriting culturally has changed a lot because there actually have been a lot of ghostwriters who write celebrity books who have been really open about how they work with their clients. Like probably the most notable one recently is the guy who, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I've got his book on my shelf up here. Sorry, I can't remember his name. He wrote Prince Harry's memoir. I'm sure at least one of your listeners they know who that is off the top of their head. I can't remember his name though. He's been really public about how that book actually came to be and their process for creating it. So there's been kind of this openness about ghostwriting in culture where people are more accepting of using ghostwriters, and it's seen as the valuable process that it actually is instead of what it used to be seen as, which is, oh, it's kind of a cop-out for people who want to write a book, but they don't have the skill to actually write the book themselves and that kind of thing. So essentially what ghostwriting is it's you're stepping in and you're being the literary voice for a celebrity or an entrepreneur or somebody who has a story when they don't have the time or the interest in doing it themselves. And so essentially the way that I like to present it is that you're kind of like, and this is sort of this is like an older school analogy, I guess, but you're kind of like a literary midwife where, you know, a midwife is somebody who is there helping a woman to bring her baby into the world safely. And, you know, whenever that baby is delivered, somebody cleans up the baby and they give it back to the mom nice and cleaned up. And they're just there to ensure everybody gets through the process safely and with as little pain as possible. And I think that's a good analogy for what ghostwriting is. Because my job is to make it easier for the client to get their message out into the world. And I step in and I basically put on, if you look at it from a theatrical metaphor point of view, I put on the costume of that person's persona. And I do my best to write and communicate in a way that they would if they were doing this process themselves. And in the process of me stepping in on behalf of them, the book turns out usually a lot better and it gets done a lot faster than if they were to try and figure that out for themselves. It's the exact same reason why I take my car to a mechanic as opposed to trying to get on YouTube and figure everything out myself. I actually did that recently. What was I trying to do? I was trying to change, forget what the part was. Oh, it was my alternator in my truck. I knew that was what was wrong with it. And I watched some YouTube videos and I was like, oh, I can probably figure this out. Went to AutoZone, even got like the tool to loosen the belt, the serpentine belt thing. And after about 45 minutes, I came back into the house and I just told my wife, I give up. I just got to take this in. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's exactly why people hire ghostwriters, is because they understand they don't need to be spending the time, hundreds of hours to figure this out themselves. They want a pro to come in and to tell their story or present their framework or communicate their information in a way that's really, really compelling and will help them get a result.
Do you typically do nonfiction then versus fiction?
Correct. I only do nonfiction. There are a lot of fiction ghostwriters. It's just not something I do. I don't consider fiction to be really a skill set of mine. Maybe it will become that someday, but yeah, I just do nonfiction.
Do you feel like the process would be similar then between the two genres?
No, not really. I think fiction ghostwriting is a whole different ball of wax typically. There are a lot more fiction books that are wholesale written by ghostwriters with zero input from the client/author than there are nonfiction books that are done the same way. And it's kind of a point, like in the ghostwriting world, that's a little bit of a point of controversy, I guess, or contention. Whereas I think there's some purists who would look at ghostwriting as like it's only legitimate with input or with some guidance from the client slash author. Whereas they would say maybe ghostwriting is not as legitimate if basically you do the whole thing with no input and you're just slapping somebody else's name on top of it. I'm not here to be like the ethical judge of that, but that does happen a lot in the fiction world. And partly it's not an intention to deceive anybody. It's just a branding thing. That's all that it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the same thing happens in every other industry, but for some reason, people, they sort of get all ethical about it when it comes to books. Like when you see an album that has Taylor Swift's name on it. I mean, yeah, did she write those songs herself? Yeah. Did she probably have some co-writers? Yes, she did. Probably. Did she have a producer and other musicians and other people who helped to get that album out there? Of course. So when you see Taylor Swift's name on it, is that really a representation of only Taylor Swift? Well, no. It's her voice, but she had a lot of help getting that album out into the world. So for some reason, whenever we see books, people get upset that, oh, that person had a ghostwriter, or they had like an editor who was a big part of that, or an editorial team. But the reality is that all good art has a whole team behind it. It's just that in the book world, for some reason, we still carry kind of antiquated ideas about what that means.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring up Taylor Swift. I just had a conversation with some colleagues about, does she actually write her own songs today? So
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I have had some writer friends of mine say that they did some ghostwriting for fiction, and it was more like they wrote just a couple chapters. Mm-hmm. Right. And then somebody else wrote these chapters, and it just kind of all pulls together. Have you heard of that being a process before?
Yeah, it can work a whole bunch of different ways. There are books where various people have different roles in there. Some people will do a first draft, and somebody else will come along and do a second draft. Then you have various levels of editing involved in it. Really, it's whatever it takes to get the book done. Okay. That can involve a whole bunch of different ways of doing it. I think I'm a big fan of just doing whatever needs to be done to get a good book created. And sometimes that involves kind of extreme measures, I guess you would say, in pulling people in at the last minute or having something rewritten extensively or a big chunk of something rewritten. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if things work that way sometimes at all.
Yeah. I'm assuming you do a lot of collaborating then with whoever you're ghostwriting for. There's just a lot of back and forth, almost like what you would have with maybe a developmental editor.
It depends. So I always tell clients that my job is to adapt to how they like to work the best. And I'll give you two examples. I'll give you and these are both real books that I have worked on. So example A was a book that came out a couple years ago. Basically, the only involvement that the authors had, and this was a couple of authors together, the only involvement they had with the book was they gave me a couple stories each, and they gave me some seeds of an idea for the book. And then otherwise, I went off and the whole book was mine. Like almost everything else in the book, the ideas, the structure, the content, that was all stuff that I produced, but really it was under their name because it was their brand. The book that I did for them was one book in a series of other books. But they didn't have the time to write this volume of that series on this specific topic. So I came in and I did everything, even though it was kind of under their name. Now, what is kind of funny, though, as a little side note, is one unique thing of when you have a book ghostwritten for you, you have to then, that's your responsibility to get really familiar with the content of the book. Because then when you go on podcast interviews or you're talking to people about the book, you have to speak intelligently about it. And it's a really common thing in the business world whenever people use ghostwriters that they get on interviews or podcasts and they have no idea what was in their own book. Like that is a really, really common thing. And I kind of laugh at that a little bit because I'm like, man, you should have like read your own book that has your name on it. But it happens. Now, the other sort of extreme is when you're the ghostwriter for a project, but the client has a really hard time letting go. I've had this happen a couple times too, where, you know, you do a draft of a book and they just cannot bring themselves to let go of the book. You know, my philosophy is when you hire somebody who's really good to do something for you, just step back and let them do their thing. And the typical process is for an author to get in there, and they may want to be involved with some of the language in the book and shaping the stories. And some people are more hands-on than others, but occasionally you have somebody who really has a hard time letting go. And in fact, I had one client last year, in fact, who, this was a little short book. I did a draft of the book, and I think I'm objective enough to say the book was really good. It exactly did what it was intended to do, but they went in and they literally rewrote the whole book themselves. And they were really upset about it because they were like, well, this isn't exactly like in my voice or this or that. And I was like, it's exactly in your voice. Like, this represents exactly what we got on multiple calls and we talked through in detail and all this. And it was really, really weird. That doesn't normally happen, but occasionally you'll have somebody who really has a hard time letting go creatively of that book. And so it can really run the gamut between people who are very hands-on or people who are very, very hands-off. My preference personally is for it to be somewhere in the middle. I like for authors to be involved, but not so involved to the extent that it really hinders the process of getting the book done.
So what happens if you've done all the ghostwriting and then they say, I don't like it, I don't want it? They just want to kind of end the deal. Have you ever had run into that? Or
not very often. Typically, I try to bake in steps into the process itself so that that doesn't happen. One of the things that I bake into it is, it's pretty rare that I go off and do a whole book in solitude and then give them the whole book. Like, you have built in checkpoints along the way where I'll do a chapter or two, I'll send it to them, they're doing their edits or whatever, and then I'll go off and do the next chapter or two. So there's kind of these built in points along the way that are designed to keep that from happening. There is always something that happens though, which is it happens like clockwork. In fact, it happens so often that I have a whole document that I give authors on this, which is basically like the five emotional stages of working with a ghostwriter, which is, it's like the five stages of grief. And I'm not really kidding about this. They start off like, you know, really excited. Well, this isn't the five stages of grief, but they start off really excited. And then midway through the book, there comes a point at which they start to get kind of scared about it. And they wonder, have I done the right thing? Should I have invested in this project? Did I even really want to do this in the first place? It's the same thing that happens in the middle of any creative project, which is people kind of seize up and they go, oh, wait, now I'm overcome by fear. Am I even doing the right thing to begin with? And I warn them ahead of time that this is going to happen. At some point in the process, they're going to become really fearful and they're going to second guess themselves and doubt whether this should have been something that they did the whole time. But that's a totally natural part of any creative project. So once we get through that and we get to the end of it, then if I've done my job correctly, then they shouldn't really have that fear by the time we get the book done. They should be really happy with it, especially as we go through the revisions and start to get the book to a place that's really ready for editing.
Wow. What are your thoughts? I'm kind of going off track just a little bit with this one, but with AI, how do you feel that that will impact the ghostwriting industry? Or do you feel like it's not going to impact it at all?
I think the authors, this may be a little bit of a controversial take, but I think the writers and the ghostwriters and the authors who are worried about AI, they're not looking at what they actually provide to the author the correct way. Here's what I mean by that. So what I really provide to people when I'm their ghostwriter is not really the words. The words are an element of what I do, but really what I do is I listen really carefully. That's where my background as a pastor comes in. So I was a pastor in my 20s, and I've always been very pastoral in anything that I've done. At least I try to be. What I mean by that is I try to really listen and key into the emotional components of what somebody's sharing with me in their story. I listen for threads and themes in what they're talking about, and I try to get underneath what they're saying to really try to understand what they're trying. You have to almost look past what people are telling you on the surface, because oftentimes what we communicate to other people is designed to conceal something rather than reveal something. So you have to kind of understand that and read between the lines and get into the heart of what they're really talking about. Because a lot of times what we do as humans is we talk to avoid the real issue. That happens a lot in marriages and relationships and families and other kinds of things. So I try to really listen for what is it that's really important to this person and what's really bothering them, what's important to them. And so that's one thing that I think is really vital in the ghostwriting process. Another thing is knowing how to position the book. So they may have an idea for a book, but how do we frame this for the market? How do we position this book so that it's getting more of what they want in their life or their business? Because the worst mistake that I can make for somebody as a ghostwriter is writing a great book, but it's not the book that they need. Like the biggest sin for me is writing the wrong book for somebody. Because you can have this great book out there that has a nice cover and it's well written, but if it's not actually helping you accomplish what your business or personal goals are, then you've invested all this time and money into something that is actually going to be a huge distraction for you. So that's why a big part of what I do as a ghostwriter and collaborator is understanding the client's goals and what's important to them, and then figuring out how do we connect this book to those goals so it gets you more of that. And then we go off and obviously we do the book and go through that process. But this is why I don't really worry about AI, because AI can't do those things for somebody. AI can't listen empathetically and really understand what you're trying to communicate, because it's not real. I mean, is it going to get better over time? Of course. And there's even, I'm sure, AI therapists out there now, but none of that's human. They can't really approach you as another human being. And AI can't really look at the totality of your business or your life and understand how to take this book and position it for maximum impact. I mean, maybe it will someday, but so that's why I don't really worry about AI. I mean, somebody could dump all their stuff into AI and AI can write a book on it, but it's probably not going to be very good. And it's probably not going to be connected to their deeper emotional or personal or business goals. So I don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. This next question, I don't know if I can understand it actually for ghostwriting for nonfiction, because I assume you come across people who are experts in a field that want to put a book out on it, but they're not writers, right? Mm-hmm. Is your typical clientele. So for someone who's maybe looking at ghostwriting for fiction, why would you ghostwrite for fiction instead of just writing it for yourself? Is there an advantage?
Well, it comes down to a variety of things. The biggest reason that I hear that people ghostwrite fiction is because they just don't want to do the author platform building and the marketing themselves. They'd rather just do their writing and get paid for that and kind of be on their way. Because, you know, writing of something is one thing, but then marketing it and building an author platform and doing all the social media stuff or email newsletter stuff or website stuff or podcast stuff, like that is a whole nother ball of wax. That's a whole nother layer. Multiple layers on top of the actual creating of the product. And some people just don't want to do that. They don't have any interest in it. Or maybe they found success in helping build somebody else's brand. Maybe they're getting paid well for it. And they just don't want anything other than making money from their writing, which is totally legitimate.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So how, if you're brand new, you're looking at ghostwriting being a revenue for you as an author, how do you break into that business?
So the very first thing, there's a number of things I would say. One of the very first things that you need to do now, this, and I tend to look at things a little different, as you can probably tell. A lot of ghostwriters, I don't think, would probably say this, but I think it's vitally important for you to have your own book out there. So I think one of the very first things you have to do if you aspire to be a ghostwriter is you have to prove yourself as a writer. That means blogging. That means writing for other outlets if you can. That means having at least one of your own books out there. If you're going to do that, I would not recommend a big, long book. Write a little short nonfiction book or a fiction book if you want to ghostwrite for fiction. do something where people can validate you as a writer. It needs to be on Amazon and your website or wherever else. You need to have some print copies of it. This way, people can see that you have written a book before. Why would anybody hire you if you don't have a book of your own out there and you haven't been validated as a writer? That doesn't make any sense. And the quickest way for you to be validated as an author is for you to get your own book out there. So that's one of the first things that I would do pronto is make sure you're blogging every week if you can. And there's really no reason not to do that. Like if you want to be a pro writer, you should be writing stuff out there every week. It's not difficult to do. People have been doing it for decades and it's you can do it for free. So it's just a very, very simple, low cost way to be validated as a writer. So those couple things are important. I think you want to have a website of some kind. I wouldn't make it complicated. Make it very simple, but give people some place to go where they can find out some stuff about you. But then the other thing is I would just start kind of once you've done those things, start telling people in your world that you're building a ghostwriting business and pick a thing that you want to ghostwrite about, whether it's business or technology, or if you want to go a little broader, personal development or whatever it is. Just pick a thing to specialize in. You can make it broad, but the more that you will be specific about what you're writing about, the more people will know how to direct other people your way. So that's why I think there is a lot of value in saying, hey, I'm a business ghostwriter, or I'm a general nonfiction ghostwriter, or whatever it is. And then just start telling people that you're building a ghostwriting business and asking them to send people your way if you know others who are interested. Start talking about it on social media. If you have a blog or an email newsletter, start talking about it there. And eventually, if you do that long enough, and if you have validated yourself as a writer and people see you as legitimate, then eventually you will land that first client. It's just kind of statistically going to happen. And when that happens, I wouldn't be too worried about how much you're getting paid or what the exact assignment is. Your first order of business is just to get that first paying client. So you have something to hang your hat on. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would probably do a couple of smaller projects. Just, it doesn't even matter what they pay, you know, just do it really cheap so that you can get some experience and some testimonials and get your feet wet with it. So getting traction is the hardest thing, but once you do, then things will start to build from there if you're good.
Yeah, it's generally a slow build, and that is something I've discovered along the way. It just mm-hmm. takes time to make those connections and really gain the traction. One of the ways in fiction you can do that too, because you're talking about writing short pieces, mm-hmm. is to do flash fiction. And you can that as well. So
that's cool.
In fact, we have a whole session with specific to historical Christian romance. With Abby Downey about flash fiction and how to get it out there and sell it. So, yeah. Is there a set rate or fee that for someone who's just starting out, what would you know to charge for doing ghostwriting?
So rates are, it's a really, really good question. And it's hard to answer specifically. I will answer specifically, but what makes it a challenge is that, you can think of ghostwriting very much like asking somebody to build a house for you. So what the builder's going to charge you depends on the location, depends on the cost of materials. It depends on what size the house is and what kind of amenities you want and all kinds of various factors. And it's the same thing with writing a book for people. When I give a rate to somebody, it depends on how long the book is. That's really one of the main factors is how many words. Because writers live and die by word count. And by the way, side note, never, ever charge by the hour as a ghostwriter. I see some agencies that do that and it drives me insane. Because I think charging people hourly for writing work is a horrible way to do business. It doesn't make any sense for you or for the client. So just charge by the project. I think that's a much simpler way to go. And what I mean is charge by word count. Word count should be your metric, not time. Anyway, okay, a little side note. So when it comes to pricing as a beginning ghostwriter, the very, very lowest that I would recommend accepting for a book would be $5,000. That would be only for a short little book, like no more than 15 or 20,000 words. Any lower than that, and that's highway robbery, because if you're a writer who has skill and talent, you need to be compensated. Like, that's really, really important. 7,500 seems to be a more common starting point for beginning ghostwriters, all the way up to like 15,000. So I would say 7,500 to 15,000 for a full-length book would be fine. So my first couple books, that's what I charged. Those were 45,000 and 60,000 words, each of those. The first one I actually paid for editing on that. So I really only charged like 13.5, honestly, for that first one. And that was considered pretty low. I mean, that's still considered really, really low for professional ghostwriting. Then you can go all the way up to the other end, which is multi six figures per book project. That's celebrity ghostwriters and people who are really, really well known and very well established and very, very successful. The general range for professional ghostwriting, for people who've been doing it for a number of years and who have some successful books under the belt, is going to be anywhere in the range of, I'm going to say, 40,000 to 60 or 65,000 in the mid range. I would say in the upper mid range is going to be anywhere from like 65 to probably 90 or 125. And then anything like above 125 or 150 per book is going to be, you know, really the top tier of ghostwriters.
Wow. I wasn't expecting it to be quite so high, but wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Well, the secret of that is that you have to, you know, when you're targeting clients, you have to connect with the right people who can afford it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really major, major factor. So that, you know, like, there's a reason I don't ghostwrite for college professors or pastors, yeah, because those aren't people who typically could afford full-time ghostwriting, or not full-time ghostwriting, a full-length book, you know, for ghostwriting, nor would they really need one, because most of those people are already decent writers, a lot of mm-hmm. them. So I typically write for people like entrepreneurs, wealth managers, attorneys, marketing people, those kinds of things, where these are people who have really successful businesses, but they don't have the time to write their own books.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have anything you would like to share? I know you have a wonderful podcast, the Profitable Writer podcast. And just, I would love for you just to share some of the stuff that you offer writers as well.
Sure. So in addition to the podcast, the main other thing that I offer is I run a community called the Profitable Writer Community. And this is a membership that I really, really enjoy running. Essentially what it is it's a group of writers who are on a mission together to impact the world and increase their income. And I think both of those things can happen at the same time. It's not all about making money, but when you do increase your income, that allows you to do more good in the world and to add value to other people. You know, the more money that you can make as a writer, the more people you can hire, the more you can give to charities or to missions or to church work or to nonprofits if you want to do those kinds of things. The better future you can set up for yourself and your family, your kids or your grandkids. So I think those two things are really intertwined. It doesn't mean that you have to be filthy rich, but I do think it means that most of us hold back in life, and I think almost all of us are capable of adding more value to the world. And when you add more value, then that increases your income and allows you to add value to other people even more. Yeah. So we're all kind of on a mission together to do that and to raise the value of what we do and to increase our value to the world. So people can find out more about that at theprofitablewriter.com. The membership is really fun. I keep it a low cost thing at $47 a month. So it's really, really affordable, but we do a call once a week where we do some teaching and have guest experts come in. And then we have courses and a really active Facebook group and some occasional live events as well. It's really, really fun.
That sounds exciting. And I will share a link to that membership in the blog post for this episode.
Cool. Well,
and my
so
newsletter
much.
As well.
It.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kent. I really enjoy talking to you about ghostwriting and just learning more about that industry as a whole.
Absolutely. Totally my pleasure. And I know, Melissa, that you have primarily fiction readers and writers listening to your podcast. I think ghostwriting is a great way to make a side income or even a full-time income if people choose. And you can totally do that while you're building your own author platform and working on your own fiction as well.
Yes. And while you're doing that, you're improving your writing skills every time you're writing.
And you're connecting with cool clients who improve your life and help you to learn all kinds of cool stuff. So there's a lot of benefits to it.
Yes, there are. Thank you so much for sharing today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.